It's Sunday morning, time for the great outdoors with Charlie Potter. Brought to you by the all-new Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome to the Great Outdoors Show. Thank you for joining me, Charlie Potter, here on WGN Radio. Wow, what a week in the great outdoors. I think it's a terrific week if you took the point of view that violent demonstrations for conservation have no place. 2 years ago, I mentioned that there was going to be a lawsuit against Greenpeace for the disruption of the Keystone Pipeline project that was supposed to go through North Dakota. And a number of conservation groups were really alarmed at this, that a company would sue a conservation group. And I pointed out at the time, Greenpeace is not a conservation group. Greenpeace is an environmental terrorist group and actually has been charged with acts of violence around the world, particularly in Australia. So the New York Times ran the headline, Greenpeace, storied environmental organization, loses $660 million lawsuit. I don't think it's right to say that Greenpeace is a storied environmental organization. Greenpeace has done nothing for habitat. All they have done through their time is demonstrate, and at times also been violent, and has been labeled as an organization that in some cases is a terrorist organization for some of their acts. They're not a storied environmental organization. They're an organization whose tactics have been to protest violently and to disrupt. That doesn't mean that you shouldn't oppose things that are destructive to our environment, and I'll be the first person to say that we should. But we should do things by legal means. So Greenpeace, actually, if they actually have to pay this $660 million settlement, Greenpeace says it will go out of business. And maybe that's not a bad thing, because Greenpeace has been so disruptive to the conservation movement. They are not a storied environmental organization, as the New York Times calls them. So what happened in North Dakota is that they trespassed and they created havoc, basically is the best way to put it, regarding the Keystone Pipeline, the Dakota Access Pipeline, and a company, Energy Transfer, sued them and said that they had, in fact, damaged the reputation of the company and that they had disrupted the operation. And the lawsuit was successful. A 9-person jury in North Dakota, after 2 days of deliberation, found that Greenpeace had committed trespass, defamation, and conspiracy, among other violations, and that they would pay a $660 million fine. This is the first time, I think, I remember such a thing happening, but maybe it will focus organizations that are not constructive when it comes to conservation to think twice about how they disrupt lawful activities. And when I think of an organization like Greenpeace and I compare them on the other spectrum to organizations like Ducks Unlimited, Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation, Wild Turkey Federation, Delta, all kinds of organizations, they're polar opposites. So bottom line is Greenpeace could go out of business. And as I said just a moment ago, I don't think that would be a bad thing. How about what Will Primos did? Will Primos is the inventor and really the entrepreneur who took calls mainstream for across the industry. Turkey calls, coyote calls, duck calls, all kinds of elk calls. He built a phenomenal business, making calls, mostly out of acrylic, a few out of wood, but he popularized the call business so that 50 years ago, when you had to find a duck call, it was hard to find. You had to go to your local sporting goods store, and hopefully they had them, and P.S. Holt was in Illinois, the big brand. If you wanted a turkey call, they didn't really exist. If you wanted a coyote call, forget it. If you wanted an elk bugling call, hard to find. Will Primos said, I can do this. I can make calls. I can mass produce them, and I can put the calls into every household that wants to have a call for whatever species they want to hunt. He built a tremendous business, and then he sold it. And then Will Primos did something, as was reported in Forbes this week. He went to Purdy and Sons in England, and he had the first complete set ever made of Hammerlock 12-gauge, 16-gauge, 20-gauge, 28-gauge, and 410 shotguns. And they all have the same serial number. So they're consecutive. It's the only time that Purdy has ever done this. They had actually never made a 410 Hammerlock gun before. And Will Primos, who I've known for 25 or more years, he decided that he wanted to give something back to conservation, which has given so much to him. So think about that in the context of what I was talking about earlier with Greenpeace. So Will, with his own money, had these guns produced, and now he's decided that he is going to give them away, that he is going to have them auctioned for charity to benefit organizations that do great work for conservation. And it will raise millions of dollars. So James Purdy and Sons was actually started, well, it's about 600 years old, and it's in England. And think about that. This is the first time that this company, which is, along with Holland & Holland, it's the most seriously sought after fine shotgun company in the world. In fact, I would say James Purdy and Son is the most sought after. So it's the first time they've ever done this. And Will decided, I think I want to give something back. So when we think about individuals who've been terribly generous, sometimes they're generous with their philanthropy. Sometimes they're generous with their time. Will Primos has been generous with both his wisdom, his time, and his philanthropy. And so a year from now, these guns are going to be auctioned off, and they are going to be benefiting organizations that do serious on-the-ground work. And this effort's been led by Jeff Crane of the Congressional Sportsman's Foundation, has put this together. And so Ducks Unlimited, National Wild Turkey Federation, Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation, and Pheasants Quail Forever are going to be the beneficiaries of the auction. The auction is going to be held by Rock Island Auctioneers. And those of you listening, you, if nothing else, for curiosity's sake, you want to follow this, because something like this has never happened before. There's never been a collection like this made in the history of the world. And I doubt there's likely to be another one made like this in the history of the world. So congratulations to Will Primos, who transformed the hunting industry by enabling people to call animals and birds to them. And now he's giving something back, which will raise millions of dollars for conservation. So thank you, Will, for what you're doing. I'll be back in just a moment with more on the Great Outdoors Show. And if you can believe it, an albino turkey was shot in Mississippi. I want to talk about that for a second. And then I'm going to talk about this study that was just came out on more recent study on the population of birds, the Cornell Lab and the Ornithological Center for Avian Populations has released more information. And we're going to talk for a minute about that. But thank you so much for being with me. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN. And first, a message from our longtime sponsors, the Northwest Indiana and Chicagoland Chevrolet dealers.
Hiking, camping, and hunting, it's all an adventure in the great outdoors, but nature can be tough. You need to be ready for anything and everything. Chevy Silverado is built to handle the toughest conditions and get you everywhere you want to go worry-free. Silverado's designed to handle the big jobs. It's built for the great outdoors. With over 13,000 pounds of towing capacity and trailering sway control, Silverado can haul the biggest loads on the roughest roads and keep you cool as a Sunday drive. With 8 available cameras and up to 14 different views, it can spot trouble before it gets to you. That's peace of mind. And when you're ready for the backcountry, Chevy Silverado 1500 ZR2 owns the off-road. You name it, we run over it. No wonder it's Motor Trend's 2023 four-wheeler pickup truck of the year. So see your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer or go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and check out a Chevy Silverado. It's freedom to explore the great outdoors.
It's Charlie Potter and the Great Outdoors on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the Great Outdoors Show. Hope you're enjoying the show. And if you're just joining me, let's talk a little bit about birds. A study called The Tipping Point was just released by the Cornell Lab and the Ornithological Center for Avian Populations. And they concluded that there are 112 species in North America. They studied 180 bird species. And they concluded that 112 of them have declined by 50% or more in the last 50 years. So well over half the number of birds that have been studied, this is songbirds primarily, is down by more than 50%. And they said that of these, 100 of the 180 species studied, 112 have declined by more than 50%. It's not a surprise to me, and I doubt it's a surprise to any of you listening. And I'll just draw an analogy for a second or something to think about. If you've played golf for a while and you're accustomed to walking golf courses, and I'm going to say, let's just take yourself back 30 or 40 years, you saw lots of songbirds on golf courses. Today, it's like a desert. The only thing you see on golf courses are Canada geese. When you walked country roads, you saw bobolinks, you saw warblers, you saw all kinds of small birds. Today, you don't see it so much. So I fully concur that bird populations are down dramatically. Whether it's, and their data says 50%. So the question is, really, what are we going to do about it? And why has this occurred? And I would offer maybe a little bit of a different perspective on why this has occurred. I think it's occurring in part because of the pesticides and fertilizers that are being used across America. These tiny little birds, finches and everything that pick up every little piece of fertilizer and eat it, that can't be good for them. And the toxicity of chemicals that we're using across the landscape today, whether it's in agriculture, golf courses, our own lawns, I think it all contributes to the decline of birds. This is not simply a habitat situation. We haven't lost 50% of the habitat in the last 50 years. We haven't. In fact, in some places, we've gained habitat. But overall, yes, overall, we've lost a lot of habitat. But that can't describe what's happened totally on its own. There are definitely environmental factors taking place. And yet, on the other side, birds of prey seemingly have no limit on how much they're going to increase. And I've made this comment a number of times over the years. I think it took 20 years or more for DDT to get out of the system. And once DDT was out of the system, we have seen birds of prey explode in populations. It took a while. They crept up. But now there's no question birds of prey are doing fabulously well. Bald eagles, golden eagles, hawks, owls, peregrine falcons, they're all increasing. And that's because, in part, the DDT, which, of course, crippled their eggshells because made them so thin they weren't able to hatch, is now long gone, thankfully, from the system. So you've got many, many species of songbirds declining rapidly. You've got birds of prey increasing. There could well be a correlation there. What do birds of prey eat? They eat lots of little birds. Anyone who tries to raise pheasants or quail or knows exactly what happens if you've got a lot of birds of prey around, you're not going to raise many pheasants or quail. So there could well be, you've got environmental conditions. I think you also have predatory conditions. They've changed. And the ornithological study does not, Cornell Labs doesn't take that into account, but it's seldom in nature one thing that causes a population to decline. Very seldom is it one thing. It's a multiple of factors. So loss of habitat, definitely a factor, not exclusive. Increase in birds of prey, clearly a factor. Pesticides and chemicals, fertilizers, a factor. Put all that together and you've got a real problem. So somehow these literally billions of songbirds that populate North America are coming under pressure from a variety of ways. And yet on the other spectrum, we've got more geese than we've ever had, more Canada geese, more sandhill cranes, more snow geese. We've never had so many. When you look at duck species, one of the elements that clearly people are worried about is what's happening with our pintail populations. They are down over 80% from the 1950s. Scaup are down over 60% from the 1950s. So pintail, which were the second most popular duck in the 50s and 60s, have gone from a population level breeding pairs of over 10 million, 10.2, I believe, was the all-time high. They're down to 1.5 million, 1.6, 1.7, 1.8 million pintail. And I remember a few years ago when pintail dropped below 3 million and the crisis button was hit. Well, we're now half of that. So when it comes to birds, they're part of the magic in the outdoors and part of the reason that you go outside to watch, whether it's robins lay nests, sit on eggs, or whether it's a robin in your backyard, or maybe it's a finch at your bird feeder or a hummingbird, or maybe you go out in the spring and fall and watch the thrill of the migration, or maybe you like to hunt birds. Birds and humans are intertwined, and I think, as Marshall Johnson so well said in the IMAX movie, Wings Over Water, birds are calling to us, and they're telling us that something is wrong. And they're telling us that something is wrong through their silence. So hopefully some attention comes to this, and I've got about a minute left, and I always like to end, if I can, on an upbeat note. So the upbeat note that I'm going to end on is that I'm going to save albinos till next week, the albino goose. But the upbeat note that I'm going to end on is that the spring migration is well underway. Certain areas of the breeding grounds look to be much better conditioned than they were before. So there's optimism in certain areas of the key breeding grounds of North American prairies that there hasn't been. We still have a ways to go, and we still need moisture in a number of areas, but some areas that have been very dry for a few years, particularly up in the area of from Saskatoon on east to Saskatchewan, which is one of the biggest breeding areas for migratory waterfowl, that looks to be better than it's been. But really, the optimism is spring is on the way. We might still get a foot of snow in Chicago, but spring is on the way. The days are getting longer, and the time for the great outdoors, when we all go fishing and enjoy it and enjoy summer camping and biking and hiking, is coming. Thanks so much for listening. Hope you have a great week in the great outdoors. I'll be back next Sunday morning with much more, and I'm going to tell the story about a very rare albino turkey. Thanks for listening. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN.